Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the stroller, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals. And yes, before you ask, Kingdom Strollers is an authorized Disney stroller vendor. This week on The Dad Show, I'll be talking with James Cameron about his family's trip to Walt Disney World and Disney's Vero Beach Resort. Welcome back to the show, James. I think you're our first returning trip reporter.
Great. Go me.
And this time, we're talking about a little different kind of trip, although, you know, you talked to us about a split trip last time between Disney World and a cruise. This time, you got a chance to experience Disney's Vero Beach Resort, which we haven't had a chance to talk about on the show yet.
Yes, it's oddly enough, it's inspired by a stop we made on the previous trip. On the way home, we stopped at Hilton Head just to take a quick look around, and we liked that so much that we were like, you know what, we're going to have to stay at Hilton Head one of these times, or maybe Vero, and it worked out that Vero was the choice.
Okay. Well, let's take the step back and start like we always do with sort of how this trip came together. So tell us a little bit about the planning stages, when you decided to make this trip, and you already gave us a little insight on how you chose Vero, but you also had a Walt Disney World portion of your trip that you started out with.
Yeah, so pretty much right after we got off the our split trip the previous year, we were already thinking about, you know, when are we going back? And we had stopped at Hilton Head on the way home, so we knew we kind of wanted to work, you know, that relaxing Hilton Head portion into the trip. And we were looking at the summer. My wife's a teacher, so we're always, you know, looking at those school breaks or the long break of the summer to take our trips. And we looked at it, and we decided to do July. We thought it'd be really cool to be there for our wedding anniversary.
Nice.
This was our 7th wedding anniversary, so we booked it to be at Disney World, you know, on the exact day, and we ended up tacking on the Vero dates at the end of the trip.
Okay, so how long did you set aside for Disney World?
We're Vacation Club members, so we did it based on points, and we were able to work it out. So we got 5 nights at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, which we had never stayed at. And we were able to get 4 nights at Vero as well.
Okay. So 5 nights Animal Kingdom Lodge, 4 nights at Vero. Let's start talk a little bit about the Disney portion of your trip. And let's talk maybe first about Animal Kingdom Lodge, since you hadn't stayed there before. And tell us about your impressions of Animal Kingdom Lodge.
We thought the Animal Kingdom Lodge was incredible. We thought it was really great. From the moment we entered, all the cast members were really friendly. We got, you know, checked in. Once we got checked in, we arrived a little earlier than planned. We were driving, and we decided not to stop for breakfast or lunch on the second day of driving because we just wanted to get there. And that ended up throwing off our time. So a tip that the cast member told me when I was checking in, he's like, we did the online check-in, and I estimated about 3 o'clock in the afternoon for our check-in, and we ended up getting there around noon. And he said, you know, he goes, from now on, whenever you do online check-in, just say 9 a.m. He goes, doesn't matter what time you're going to get there, he just say 9 a.m. so everything's ready. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
I was like, so, yeah, but, you know, everybody was great. We loved, you know, right away, like just going down to our room, you know, we had to stop at every window and look outside and, you know, see if we could see any of the animals. And they were there, you know, all the animals were there. And then we had a savannah view. Not the main savannah, but we had, you know, we were off to the one of the ones off to the side, but there was. But we had a little like water hole that we could look down upon, and we were on the fifth floor looking down, and had a little fear of like with the balcony and the kids trying to see the animals, and as it turns out in the news not that long ago,
I was just going to say
that 6-year old girl who fell from I think it was the third floor,
right?
Yeah, so thankfully she was okay, but that I also have a 6-year old daughter, and when I read that article, I couldn't help thinking, oh, good thing that wasn't it wasn't her.
Right. Yeah. A couple of important things after having read the article. Number one, come on, people, pay attention. When your kids are on the balcony, climbing on chairs and tables, you wouldn't let them do that in your house. Don't let them do that on the balcony at Disney World. Number one. But number two, the good news is, and one of the things that is sort of part of the illusion that they are able to create with Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge and the theme park and the Savannah and all of that, is that there's actually a sort of safe zone between the lodge and the Savannah itself. So when you read the news reports, the place where the girl fell, animals can't get to that.
Yeah, we noticed that when we were there. Like my daughter even pointed out to me. She was like, "What is that? It looks like a little, like almost like a stream bed,
right?
That runs along, along the perimeter. And then if you look really carefully, there's some wires and things that are sticking out that look like they're and you could surmise that that's there to repel
right
the animals.
So you're on the Savannah view on one of the kind of the savannas that's off to the side a little bit. And which room type did you have? Which building were you in?
We were in Jumbo House, and we had a studio.
Okay. And you were there for, you said, 4 nights?
5 nights.
5 nights. Okay, so 5 nights. So why don't you give us, since you were there 5 nights, why don't you give us sort of, let's start with the good stuff and give us maybe 5 highlights from the Animal Kingdom stay, the Disney World part of your trip?
The first highlight's got to be just the Animal Kingdom Lodge itself. Being able to see the animals right off our balcony, and anywhere you walked, you went down to the main lookout to roast marshmallows and look at animals down there. We participated in a drum ceremony that they did, a little parade around the lobby, and then a couple of cast members actually spoke about about their homes in Africa, that they where they came from, a little bit about their home countries, and some things that you wouldn't have, we wouldn't have learned anywhere else, except if we went and actually looked it up, which we weren't going to do.
Well, that's one of the great things about Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think, is that you get that sort of extra entertainment and the extra, I'm struggling with words here, which is something I don't normally do, but it's because they do a really good job there of walking that thin line of edutainment, of entertaining people, but educating them at the same time and doing it in a way that's engaging and that the kids get into and really enjoy.
Yeah, I think they get you into the habit of wanting to stop and look and read. If you see that, it's not enough just to see the animals, but you also want to say, like, well, what animal is that? And you look at the placards they have and things, the information they have, or the cast members that are there who tell you something about the animals, and then you see the artwork that they have, and you just find yourself stopping to read. What is this? It looks interesting. It's really cool to look at, but what is it? Mm-hmm. And you find yourself really engaged in that, and it's. It's an amazing job they do with the theming and the atmosphere.
Okay. So the lodge itself was number one. What else?
My daughter fell in love with water slides. They have a great slide at the pool, and she had never been on one before. And she was just took swim lessons, a few weeks before we went, and she wasn't very confident. But they have life jackets that are, complimentary, and so she strapped one on, and she fell in love with the water slide in the pool. And we tried the pool there at the Jumbo House. We went over to Kidani Village and tried the pool there, which had a really cool slide. And then later on at Vero, the pool there would have a slide as well. So water slides were a big hit for her.
Okay.
at the as far as the parks went, it rained a lot while we were there, but we still had a great time. New Fantasyland, this was our first trip since New Fantasyland had opened officially, and we were very excited to see New Fantasyland. And the big hits for us were the Enchanted Tales with Belle, and that was the day, our day at the Magic Kingdom, the whole day was, that was the actual day of our 7th wedding anniversary. And we had, you know, we usually save Magic Kingdom for the last day, but unless we're there, we're going to do it more than one day. But on a 5-night trip, we're only doing a park a day. So we wanted to save it, but we rearranged our schedule and did it the second day, which was our anniversary. So we got to wear our anniversary buttons, and everybody, you know, was saying happy anniversary to us. And we started the day off with breakfast in one castle, and we had dinner in another, where we got reservations for Be Our Guest.
Oh, nice.
For dinner. Yes,
so you had the full princess anniversary treatment from Cinderella to Belle, huh?
Yeah, so we got breakfast, and breakfast was great. It had been a while since they ate in the castle. I remember the very first time we ate there, and I thought it was great. And then I thought the next couple of subsequent times that the experience had gone down a little bit. But the food, I was pleasantly surprised that the food was really good, and our service was good, and the character interaction was good. So it seems like they stepped up their game again at the castle. And I love the overall theming of New Fantasyland. The landscaping was incredible, and the detail that they put in. I just couldn't get past, every time we were over near Cinderella's castle, the added castle wall,
right,
that separates,
yeah,
the new portion from, it's just, to me, it just seems like it's hanging out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it feels more integrated once the mine train opens and the construction walls come down.
Yeah, I'm hoping too. It's just like the one wall is anchored, sort of like where Pinocchio's is, but the other one's just free floating, and it left me thinking. I was actually looking at it from the windows of Cinderella's Royal Table, and I'm looking out at it. And I'm like, is that supposed to enclose the area, because it doesn't go all the way? And I was like, is the village inside the castle walls or outside the castle walls? I didn't know. It felt unfinished to me, and I'm like, well, maybe once they finish the mine train, they'll do something else, and it'll make it seem a little more cohesive. But it just,
right,
that part just puzzled me. But other than that, everything else, our favorites were the Enchanted Tales with Belle, which, we had heard, we knew you had to participate, and thankfully our daughter, even though she didn't jump at one of the main parts, she did get to be the pepper shaker. she got to meet Belle, and then, I think we had posted on our blogs on the being excited to meet Belle and at that, meet and greet.
Right.
And somebody who read it said, it's not actually a meet and greet because you don't get to talk to her or anything. I was like, well, she actually had a conversation with my daughter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a long one, but she did it, there was a conversation that took place. So, yeah, so it is you do get to meet her.
Yeah, the more I hear from people and even from our own experience, to me, I know that the intention was that for this first phase of New Fantasyland, everything basically before the mine train, that the new Little Mermaid ride was probably supposed to be the signature piece, the new dark ride.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you that Enchanted Tales with Belle has been the hit of New Fantasyland. I have yet to hear from somebody who, after they've actually experienced it, thought that that it was anything other than a great experience. Some people complain about the line, but the experience itself has been uniformly positive.
Yeah, we loved it. We didn't have any problems in line. We went straight after breakfast. We got our fast passes for Little Mermaid, jumped right on line for Belle, and we saw her within 15 minutes, so it wasn't bad at all.
Great.
Little Mermaid, I thought it was nice. I thought it was a good ride, but it didn't blow me away. It's like, I guess it's just, the story, we've seen the movie 1,000 times, so we knew everything that was going to happen. So it was just a ride version of it. It was still really nice, and it's a cool ride, but.
I think one of the problems with it is that if you've done Enchanted Tales with Belle first, then you've seen those new incredible audio animatronics you know, the wardrobe and Lumiere. And even though you've got those huge Ursula animatronics in Little Mermaid, they just, they don't feel like they're up to the same level. Is it just me who thinks that, or do you agree?
No, I agree. Yeah, you know, the animatronics at Enchanted Tales with Belle just were amazing.
And then, so you go to Little Mermaid expecting at least something similar, and I just felt like so much of Journey to the Little Mermaid seemed static.
Yeah, it seemed like it could have easily been a part of old Fantasyland.
Right.
It didn't seem so much new. Just, yeah, it was a new ride because it wasn't there before, but it wasn't, you know, unlike Enchanted Tales of Belle, like the technology didn't seem
right. Didn't
that new.
All right, so those are, I'm not sure where we are in our count. That's at least two. I think that's two.
I think it's maybe two or three. Yeah, but that whole that whole day at the Magic Kingdom for anniversary was just really great. Gaston's Tavern, you know, that area too. I thought the pork shank was good. Le Fou's Brew was a big hit with the whole family. My daughter, you know, turned her nose up at it first, but once we got her to take a sip, she wouldn't give it back. So that was really cool. And then and we finished off. We hit Animal Kingdom, but we also cut that short because we wanted to go back. We found with Animal Kingdom, staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, we got up late and went to the park. Usually we would go really early, try to hit the safari first thing in the morning when all the animals are active. But right. Since we had the animals at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, we didn't feel that we had to. So we got up and went and saw the animals there, ate breakfast at the Mara, the counter, quick service there, and then headed over to the park a little later than we usually would. And we skipped the safari. We did some of the other attractions on our must-do list, and then we went back for more swimming since my daughter was eager to go swimming, and we had reservations at Sanaa.
Well, your daughter was eager to go swimming, and you were at Walt Disney World in Orlando in July.
That's true. And even though it did rain every day that we were in Walt Disney World, sometimes you expect that rain to when it stops for it to be a little cooler, but it didn't help. It was still hot and, even if possible, more muggy than it was before it rained.
Wow. All right, but you also had a reservation at Sanaa, so I'm interested to hear about this because I've got a reservation at Sanaa for my next trip, so...
That was another highlight of the trip. Was just the food was great everywhere. You know, we did some favorites like Via Napoli. We did something. You know, Be Our Guest was new, and we were very, very pleased with Be Our Guest. Not just the atmosphere, which we heard was incredible, and we saw pictures of, but the food was really good too. And then Sanaa was something we're being more adventurous, and we had heard, you know, it's a little, that the menu's a little, you know, offerings a little gamey, I guess would be the word, you know, not traditional kind of fare. So we weren't sure how the kids would do. We weren't even sure how we would do, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. It's got that sort of Indian-African fusion thing going on.
Yeah, so it was a very interesting thing, but we had heard, you know, we read some reviews and we figured one of our mantras as a family, we're trying to get the kids to do this too, is always to try something new.
Sure.
On vacation, so we're like, this is it. This is going to be our, this is our chance to do something new. So we went over it's at Kidani Village. The atmosphere, first of all, is really great. We got a table right by the window. It was still daylight out when we got there, so we were able to see some animals. So right there, maybe like 150, 200 feet away from the window. You know, they're all just, you know, congregating there, like, and so that was pretty cool. And our server was great, very knowledgeable of the food. We started with the bread service that we had heard so much about with you know, they have the Indian bread, the naan, and they bring that out and they give you, you know, choice of, you can get they have up to 9 different dips that you can, you know, dip right into. And you could just get a couple of them, but we went for the whole 9. And it's like, you know, when they brought them out, like 3 of them are sweet, 3 of them are kind of like mild, and then 3 are like really, really, really spicy. And
interesting.
We tried them all. You know, I tried them all, and I wasn't, the sweet ones didn't really do it for me, but some of the spicy ones are really good.
Okay.
And then the food was great. It's a little bit different. Like I got the like a combo of steak, which was bison, and a chicken, and it came with some rice in the middle. And then they tell you like when it comes, it's all prepared separately. But then when it comes, they're like, you know, what you should do is just dump it all on a plate, and right. you mix it all up, and you eat it that way. And they have, and I thought it was really really good. And that was like, and that was the one restaurant. Other than Be Our Guest, where they gave us the great stuff, this was that restaurant. We were still wearing our buttons. It was the next day mm-hmm. that we actually got a free dessert.
Oh, nice.
For it being our anniversary, so. But the meal was great right up until the end. When I wasn't able to enjoy the free dessert because a piece of my steak didn't make it all the way down in my throat, so it got stuck. And I was trying to get it dislodged. You know, by drinking some water, but found out that it was so completely blocked that anything I drank just ended up getting stuck as well. So I actually was excusing myself constantly to leave the restaurant and go to the restroom, try to take care of it on my own, and ended up coming back, and it was like there was nothing I could do. And so the dessert was there, and my wife got to enjoy it. We got some pictures of it, and it was great. So we ended up. And this is where it gets a little dicey on the trip. This was a second to last full day.
Well, wait. Now let's make sure people understand. This is the fourth day of a 5-day Disney World trip. Plus, you've got another 4 days coming up at Vero Beach right after.
Yeah. So this is dinner, and the next day we have planned is Hollywood Studios, and then after that we're leaving to go to Vero. To stay there for three full days and part of a fourth. And so it was it was 4 full days at Vero, sorry. So for 4 full days at Vero. So this is like the midpoint of the vacation. And I got this issue that, I'm thinking, well, it's happened once before to me that I've had like at an Outback Steakhouse, I had a piece of steak that got that stuck, but it wasn't completely stuck, and it took an hour, maybe 2 hours, for me to get it to go down. So I'm thinking this could be another one of those things where it's going to just take me a while. So we just finished up dinner. When the server came, I just I asked how everything was. I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, everything's great. We finished up, paid the check, and we ended up going back to Jumbo and put the kids to bed. And I just kept trying to see if I could do it on my own, like help just wash it down, and it wasn't happening, and it spent a very uncomfortable night,
that's
not, really,
be a
not
really,
really sleeping.
Really uncomfortable feeling to have a situation where you're not really choking, you can breathe.
Yeah, that was the funniest.
You can't swallow anything.
I can breathe, I could talk, I could do everything normally, I just couldn't swallow anything.
All right, so at some point, you turn to the Dizdads.
So the next morning my wife's, looking at me, she's like, it didn't, she wakes up and it's still stuck. I'm like, it's still stuck. I was like, we have plans. We have breakfast reservations at the Play and Dine over at the Hollywood Studios. I'm like, let's go. We'll head over there. And I was like, at some point while we're in the park, I've got to get it out and it'll happen. So I'm putting on a good face and not showing how much it's bothering me at this point. And we head over to the park, and we went to breakfast, and the torture is starting, because now I'm sitting there at breakfast and everybody's eating and drinking and I can't. And I'm constantly, I'm taking pictures of the kids when the characters come, and I'm constantly getting up and excusing myself and trying to, force the issue, and it's just not going. So it was maybe by I forget exactly when it was, but it was a few hours and, after that, after we got out of breakfast, I decided, I was like, I have to do something. I was like, I'm not going to interrupt our day at the park because I'm fine. I can breathe. I can speak. I was like, I just can't eat. So it's like, when we're done here, it's like we take, everybody go back to the resort. I'm going to have to, probably go see a doctor, or maybe go to the emergency room. And I started thinking about where I would go. And I was like, I didn't, goes to the hospital when you're on vacation. It's not usually something you have to do. So I'm like, I'm not sure where the hospitals are. So I was like, I pulled out my phone and I'm trying to, Google where the hospitals are, and of course that's interrupting, the vacation and things that we're doing. So I just said, you know what? I'll just go on Facebook. I'll go to the dad's group, and I'll post. I'm like, hey, I think I have to go to the emergency room. And does anybody know where there's a good one? That's close to Disney World that I can get to. I'm sure there's a few. Like maybe there's a one that's better than others. And sure enough, a bunch of dads chimed in and came through with all sorts of suggestions. And one of them pointed to the Celebration Hospital, which was just minutes away. And so, I had a hospital, and we just had to finish out the day. And that day got a little rough. We ended up taking a midday break, which is something we normally don't do, but we went back to the resort. Everybody was kind of cranky and with the weather and everything, but we finished out the day strong, went back to the park. We had fast passes for Toy Story Mania. We had Fantasmic. We ended up walking in right before Fantasmic started, and they were saying it's standing room only, you're going to stand, and turns out the standing room only section has bench seating.
Oh, nice.
At least the one that's all the way, all the way to the left. We were all the way down the left side and up in the back, and we went to sit. And I was like, and I remember there was standing room, areas back there, and I expected to stand, and we were okay with that. But when we got there, they had bench seating there, and we were pleasantly surprised to see that everybody was, you had seats, and we were sitting there, and you could still see. You couldn't see, all of the water effects, over people's heads. And I remember getting annoyed. A cast member actually came halfway through the show to remind people that it was okay to stand.
Okay.
She's like, it's okay if you guys stand back here. And it's like, everybody was fine sitting. And she came back. And so, of course, a few people stand. But luckily, none of the people in front of us did. I was like, okay, everybody was happy sitting. But, you're going to make people stand. So we finished out the day. We headed back to the resort, got everybody in bed, and I just made sure I took my phone and that I had my charger in case I needed to charge it, and we had our we had driven down, so I had a car, jumped in the car, and literally if I hadn't taken the wrong turn after leaving and getting out onto 192, I would have been there probably in less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
But I wasn't sure, from the I was like, it was so close, it was hard to tell which direction it was.
Yeah, it's easy to get turned around there too.
So I ended up going the wrong way, and then I realized it after a mile or two. I was like, oh, I got to go back the other way. So I got over there, and I have to say that I was very – I've been to a few hospitals. I was very impressed with the treatment I got. They came out and saw me right away to make sure that I really wasn't choking or anything. They were processing me. They were treating me as they were processing me, which is great. And unfortunately, they couldn't help me right there in the emergency room. This is I got there around midnight. And they tried to give me something intravenously to stimulate the muscles and get it to go either up or down, just to get out of the spot I was stuck in. And that didn't work. They said that usually it doesn't work. I said, 10% of the people respond to that. I'm in the 90%. So then they said the next step was to actually go in and, go in and get it. Put me under and have a specialist, a gastrointestinal specialist, go in and get it. And the bad news was they didn't have one there at the moment. So I had to wait until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yikes.
And so I sent my wife a text message. I figured if she got it, she would know what was going on. If she was sleeping, all the better. Better for her to be sleeping. Somebody should be sleeping if it's not me.
Right.
But she'd have the message we got there. And then after I got, moved out of the ER and put into a room, actually admitted into the hospital so I could wait. Then I started thinking about the fact that we were supposed to leave the next day to go to Vero. So I got on the phone to guest services at the Animal Kingdom Lodge to see if we can get a late checkout because of my situation.
Right.
And they said that they would work on that, and they took my cell phone number and my wife's cell phone number, and they said they would see what they could do and contact us to let us know, how that worked out. So just anything I could do. We had reservations at Ohana the next morning before we were supposed to head over to Vero, and I didn't think that was happening.
Yeah, I can't hardly blame you on that one.
So eventually, after what seemed like forever, 6 o'clock came around, and true to their word, the specialist was there at 6 a.m. They had me knocked out by 6 a.m., and I think I was up by about 6:25, 6:30. So it didn't take long at all. They confirmed that it was a big piece of steak, that that I didn't chew enough, and that I also had some kind of issue in there, like some scarring from some acid reflux that probably compounded it and made it easier for it to get stuck. So, so it was like part my fault, part the steak's fault.
Okay.
And yeah, so and then after, you know, they just wanted to see me eat some things, and I'll be honest, I, you know, I was in some pain. It was very sore, and it wasn't easy to eat. But I forced down the horrible breakfast they served me,
right.
And gave him a big smile and a thumbs up, like it was great, no problems. It's like I'm on vacation, so I have to get back to my family, and I got places to be. Right. And I was discharged by about 10:30, back at the resort at 11, which is like checkout time, and I went right to the front desk, and they were, you know, that was news to them that I was asking for a late checkout, so I don't know what happened, some miscommunication, but they were able to, you know, give us an hour more till noon, and turns out we didn't need it because by the time I got back up to the room, my wife had everything packed and the kids were ready to go. So awesome. all that remained was for me to like, grab a few of my things that were lying around, and yeah, so that was my emergency room adventure. It was quite the little detour in the middle of the trip, but the good thing was that once I got it taken care of, I was sore. We headed over to Downtown Disney just to do some shopping and to have lunch. And I didn't feel like eating anything. All I wanted to do was drink. I remember like at the Hollywood Studios when I couldn't drink anything, I was staring at everybody else's drinks. Yeah. Everybody walked by with a soda or a bottle of water or something. I was just like looking at it. I was like, this is what it feels like when you're on those in those cartoons when they're on the deserted islands and they look at each other and they turn into like
looking like a chop.
Turkey legs and yeah. And all sorts of things. Like that's how I felt. I was like, I'm looking at things and like, I want that. It's like, but I couldn't have anything, so once I was that whole day, all I did was drink water, drink everything I could get my hands on and ate a little bit. And so we spent a little bit of time at Downtown Disney, had some lunch, did some shopping, and then we got in the car and we drove through yet another downpour to Vero. This was one of the, like, you know, one of those Florida downpours where people are stopping on the side of the road because you just can't see anything.
Yeah.
But we made it down to Vero, and once we got there, the vacation got so much better. I love Disney World, and you know, but like there's such a difference between, you know, Vero and the Walt Disney World Resorts. Is just, it's so relaxing. It was like the minute we walked in, it's like, you know, they had this aroma that my wife had to like ask them what it was. It was like orange blossom scent, and it was just, and this with the breeze coming in off the ocean, it was so relaxing. And it turns out that it was just very lucky in our timing that the Tour de Turtle that they have every summer,
right,
take the turtles and put the tracking devices on them and release them into the ocean was scheduled. It's usually scheduled for the end of July, and it turned out that Saturday when we got, you know, we checked in Friday, that Saturday morning, our first day there, that was the morning of the Tour de Turtle.
Oh, so you got to see the big, you know, big deal annual turtle deal.
Which I attempted to see. I took my daughter. We had made reservations for. They have a Goofy's character breakfast. It's Goofy and Donald at their restaurant Shutters at Vero. And we made reservations for first thing in the morning to go down there and have breakfast. And then we found out when we got there that they were having the Tour de Turtle at the same time. So I just told the restaurant, I was like, "We're going to be late," and took my daughter down to the beach. But it just turns out that my daughter wasn't feeling well. So, and then once she found out that they weren't baby turtles, that there were these big, monstrous, huge sea turtles that they were letting go, she lost interest. Went down there. We did some of the activities on the beach. She crawled through a net like a turtle. We were learning all about, you know, the things that impact the turtle population. And they had all these great exhibits. And we went through some of them. And I was like, oh, and they're like, oh, well, there's the turtles over there with the cement was drying on the transmitters. And so I'm like, let's go see the turtles. And we went to go see them. And she saw that they were actually adults. Turtles, and she all of a sudden, she's like, "I don't want to be here." She's like, "I'm going back to the room."
You did the whole thing, rearranging the schedule and everything.
I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "So I take her back," and so we get like, so the actual release of the two turtles, I didn't get to see except from the window, and that was more or less just seeing a crowd of people waving and clapping their hands, and we said, "Oh, I guess it's happening," and then we went to breakfast, and That was like a thing we dealt with for the rest of the trip, was my daughter was coming down with something, so there's a lot of that. She was fine whenever we were doing water slides and pools and things that she wanted to do, but when she wasn't doing something that she was excited about, all of a sudden she felt that sickness that she was dealing with more. It was more prominent.
Yeah.
But it was great, but we did get to see actual baby turtles a couple days later. We pretty much did a, like, we were kind of going from, I think that first full day we did, you know, we did breakfast and we went to the pool for a while, then we went to the beach, then we went back and we had dinner. And so the next day we started with the beach and then went to the pool, and we just kind of, you know, mixing it up. And the, I think it was the second full day, like, we did the pool later, and after we had dinner, my wife suggested, hey, like, well, why don't we just go take a stroll on the beach, you know, before it gets too dark, just to kind of work off dinner. And we were like, yeah, that's a great suggestion. So, you know, we moseyed on down to the beach, and when we got there, there was a crowd of people all in one place on the beach, and we're like, no way. You know, that there were nests all over the beach of all that they mark. They stake off all these, you know, nests. You know, they go down there first thing, right, in the morning, see the tracks. They know where the nests have been, you know, where the eggs have been laid and covered up from the tracks, and they're able to stake them off so that people know where, you know, that not to walk there.
Sure.
And so we saw a crowd of people, you know, and we ran over, and sure enough, we caught like the tail end of a whole nest of baby sea turtles that had just hatched.
Oh, amazing.
Making their way down to the ocean, and like, I was able to videotape, you know, what we saw, which we saw at least, you know, a few dozen baby sea turtles, and it, like, they were literally, like, there at some points you had to, like, watch, you know, because some of them got behind you, they were crawling right next to your feet, and it was really, really cool. And I was so, especially after going down and the disappointment on my daughter's face when she realized they weren't babies, then to go back down later and then just, like, spontaneously, you know,
stumble upon the babies.
Stumble upon, you know, these baby sea turtles and have her actually get to see baby sea turtles. Like, you know, that made the trip, you know, at that point. It was like, you know, the Walt Disney World's day had been up and down, been a mix, you know, some good things, some bad. And nothing had really, really, really stood out up until that point. That was probably the best part of the trip overall, was just that, you know, you can't plan that.
No.
Later on.
And somehow it's appropriate that the moment of magic for the trip was an encounter with animals that had nothing to do with Animal Kingdom. You know? I mean, after staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Savannah View, the moment of magic came with an animal encounter somewhere else.
Yeah, it's true. It I didn't think of it that way, but now that you put it that way, yeah, it was kind of fitting. You know, we took a lot of that, you know, the experience of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, was stuck with us. There was something I overlooked at the Animal Kingdom that was new that we also did, was the Wilderness Explorers. We got to do some of those, that activity where you earn, where the kids were earning badges, you know, by doing some educational activities throughout the Oasis area. And, you know, and one of the things one of the cast members said during I think it was the flamingo activity, she had said to my daughter, like, oh, like, you know, so one thing you can do after you leave here is you can, you know, just make me, you know, make a promise that you're gonna, you know, wherever you go, you're gonna try and learn something about animals, be aware of the animals in that area.
Sure.
You know, so wherever you go. And so that was something that, you know, we took with us when we left, and it just, sure enough, we were able to kind of use it when we got to Vero with the whole tour to turtles and the big, you know, the big deal they were making out of the of sea turtles while we were there, since it was the season of the turtles laying their eggs and having them hatch. And so there was lots of information. And one of the cast members afterwards, you know, who had heard about it, I think it was in the gift shop, we were having a conversation, and she said it's very rare. The hatchings usually happen at night. They don't want anybody on the beach at night for fear that they won't see the turtles and accidentally injure them or, you know, impede them in some way. And so they don't let anybody on the beach at night. And it just so happened that this hatching occurred when it was still light out, which is very, very rare.
Right, yeah. And you were there at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and we almost saw a second one. We had contacted. We went down to the beach the next day, and we're like, well, maybe we'll get lucky again. It's very doubtful, but maybe. And we got down to the beach, and we're looking around, and I saw some people, and they were acting a little funny. It was like, and so I pulled out my video camera, and they were way down the beach, and I like zoomed in as far as I can get, and I was like, sure enough, I'm like, they're looking at their feet. They're walking around and looking at their feet and pointing down. I'm like, I think they saw some baby sea turtles. But they were so far down by the time we got there, they looked at us and they're like, you just missed it. And like, they're like, a whole nest just hatched and went in the ocean. And that time, like, where we got the one we actually saw, there was like, you know, there was a couple dozen people who were also there with us witnessing it. So it was a bit frenzied.
Right.
That
sure.
One, that family, like, you know, it was pretty much just their family all the way down the other end of the beach. They were alone when it happened, which must have been awesome.
Yeah. Sure. So Vero is something that we haven't had a chance to talk about at all on one of these shows before. And you talked kind of generally about how it's just this really nice, relaxed atmosphere. We've gotten a couple of snapshots of the kinds of things that happen there with the character breakfast they do with Goofy. And obviously they've got this ongoing thing that they do with the sea turtles that isn't always available, because obviously it's kind of dependent on the life cycle of the sea turtles.
Yes.
But it's an annual thing. Maybe you can help fill in some blanks for us. So talk to us a little bit more about sort of the experience of the Vero Beach Resort itself. Maybe describe it a little bit and talk to us about what kinds of things were available to you in addition to the turtle stuff going on.
Sure. So the way it's set up, it's like you're right on the beach. Unlike Hilton Head, which, you know, the resort is near the beach, but you have to travel to get to the beach. At Vero, you're right smack on the beach. We were in the inn, which is the largest house where you check in, and they have three or four floors of rooms. And our room was huge. We had a corner room. It was built as a studio, but the thing was gigantic. It felt like an apartment. So the inn is where, you know, you have their couple of restaurants, one's a restaurant/bar, I forget the name of it, but they had Shutters, which is their main dining room, which has, you know, where we ate pretty much all our meals. And then they have other, like, we were trying to figure this out while we were there, they have other buildings that are scattered around the grounds off on either side of the main building, and those appeared to be almost like vacation homes, where like a whole family would possibly get the entire building, or maybe this, you know, is shared by like one or two families, you know, a couple of like maybe one or two bedroom DVC villas together to make one house. I never actually looked it up to see if that was the case or not. It was just a sense we got, and we were wondering like, oh, how many points would we need to get one of those, you know? So that was like, you know, the layout, and they had plenty of activities that you could do on a pay per activity basis. When we were at the beach, the first day we walked to the beach, there were chairs and umbrellas and things that you could rent on a, you know, on a daily basis. You know, if you rented it for the day, it was yours for the day. So if you left the beach and went back, it was supposed to still be yours. We didn't try that.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that would have worked, if somebody else would have taken it, and we've had to like pull out a receipt to prove that it was ours. But that was the way, you know, it was explained to us. As like, you know, when we went down to the beach, you're like, oh, these two chairs and this umbrella, this is yours, and it's already set up, and so you got it for the rest of the day.
So it's kind of like a cabana without walls.
Yeah, they had lounge chairs, or they had like more. It's a couple different kinds of chairs that you could get, and we just took whatever was set up and easily accessible. It didn't matter to us. We spent a lot of, you know, time walking up and down the beach and in the water. The water was nice. We saw people, you know, riding a banana boat. We saw people jet skiing. We saw people parasailing. All these different activities you could do, you know, just by spending the extra money. I think with the parasailing, you had to, you know, weather permitting, and you had to, you know, sign up for a spot. They had some cast member led activities throughout the day. Back in the main lobby, there was, you know, our kids participated in some coloring and some seashell painting and things like that. They showed the kids how to make paper airplanes. I don't know who thought this was a good idea, but they showed the kids how to make paper airplanes. And so for the rest of that day, you could not walk through the lobby of Vero without getting your head taken off by a paper airplane that came flying by. It's basically like there was just all these kids there. That there was a wedding going on, and so I think they were all, most of these kids, they all seemed to know each other. I think they were all part of the wedding. Uh-huh. And so they would run up to the highest floor they could get and throw their paper airplanes down and then run down and get them and go back up. But they were having fun. And I would say that the one thing that was there was plenty of activity. They had campfires. Every other night there was a campfire, and the campfires were a lot of fun. The cast members were really, really good at getting everybody engaged, and you know, like they tempt you to the campfire with, you know, the campfire itself and free s'mores that you can make, and you know, we wanted to do that. And then once they get you there, they're like, they hold the s'mores up and say, you can't have it until you sing, and so you have to sing and like, you know, a bunch of songs with them, which are fun. And so it was really, you know, and we did it, you know, two different nights. And some of the songs were the same, but a couple of them were different. So you get and a couple of different cast members, so you get a different experience each time. So you can do it more than once. Take bug spray if you go in July. Okay. I don't know if it's like that all year round, but in July they hit these bugs. Somebody said they call them no-see-ums because you can't see them.
Right.
And they bite, you know, like, and they must be in the sand, and they jump up or something because they mostly get your legs. And then we learned that the hard way the first night, and you know, we're scratching our way at our legs the rest of the stay. But, so the activities were great. The one thing that was lacking is the food options. There's a bar that serves food, but the menu is kind of limited. Shutters, the main restaurant, we ate there a few times, but after a while, I mean, if you're staying there, you know, for a full week, we stayed there, you know, we had four nights, and there was one night where we just, you know, there was nothing to eat. We had to go, you know, look and see what was, what was around in the local area off of the property to see if we could find something. We found a pizza pasta place, which was pretty good, but I still had to drive a good 15 minutes to get there.
So in some ways it's a little more isolated than the Hilton Head resort is, because Hilton Head seemed like there were a bunch of restaurants and things, you know, nearby, even if you were, you know, a mile or so from the beach, whereas at Vero you're right on the beach, but then other services were a little farther away.
Yeah, they give you a map when you check in, and they say, here's things that are in the area, and if you want to go, like, you know, help yourself to restaurants or anything like that, and like here's some nearby attractions and restaurants and how to get to them. And we ended up looking up a few things in the phone book because the restaurants in there weren't appealing. And yeah, it's, you know, you're on you know, that main drag, A1A, that Ocean Avenue road, and there's a lot of other different kind of like resorts or, you know, vacation homes and things. Sure. Along that strip, but as far as like restaurants or shopping malls or things like that, like the one thing that when we did the tour of Hilton Head, like, you know, when we got off, you know, like there was like a drugstore right outside of Hilton Head. It was like an industrial building with like doctor's offices and things. It was like, that's like a town. You know, like in a little strip mall, like right down the road, and another strip mall if you go down the road in the other direction from Hilton Head. With Vero, it's like beach homes on the whole strip. You have to drive down a ways, and then you have to cut back over the little, you know, inlet that separates that area from the mainland and get back onto like one of the other main drags in order to find food or a store or a drugstore if you needed it, or, you know, anything like that. So there's a little bit more isolation there.
All right. So you've talked about the great sea turtle encounter. You talked about how relaxing the feel was at the resort and the water slide that your daughter loved. Any other things about the resort that you would say, you know, really stand out and the things that if you're going to go to Vero, you really shouldn't miss?
I have to say, like, we had our best meal at Shudders was on the Monday night. They had a pirate night dinner, and Donald and Goofy were also there in pirate attire, and they had all the food was kind of like a barbecue theme with the food, and cornbread served family style, and it was like all you could eat. And I think by that time, the soreness in my esophagus had gone away, so I was like one of the first meals I was really able to dig in with, and that might have had something to do with my opinion on this meal, but it was really great. I was like, that was the best meal we had there. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that we found that they have Dole Whip at the poolside bar and grill.
Nice
bleachers
bonus.
They have, yes, we saw that when we were there. They, it's just the straight up, it's not the float, it's the straight up Dole pineapple soft serve. Classic Dole Whip. They do have other flavors if you wanted to mix, but it doesn't swirl like it would at the Magic Kingdom, right? I don't know if it swirls at Captain Cook's, but at the Magic Kingdom, they do the swirl. They don't do the swirl there. They could kind of just pile it on top of each other
right. In
a cup for you, but they don't swirl it. So having the Dole Whip there, that might convince people to go to Vero in and of itself.
All right. And how did you feel about Vero? And this is one of the things I was curious about. As a DVC owner, how did you feel about the value of your stay at Vero as opposed to the value of the similar length stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
You definitely get more, bang for your buck, bang for your point at Vero as compared to staying at like Animal Kingdom Lodge. We really wanted to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and so we were happy to spend those points and think it's completely worth it. And we were pleasantly surprised that we were able to get four nights at Vero, and two of those nights were Friday, Saturday, which for DVC, those are more points than any other days of the week. So being able to do that on the weekend and still get four nights at Vero, you definitely get a lot of bang and a lot of length for your points, so you could stay there for a while. The problem becomes, is that enough for you? Is there enough there to do to fill those days? And if you're a beach person and you like just hanging out on the beach and relaxing and just, and you can get up every morning and just go lay out on the beach and maybe do a little swimming and kick back, if that makes you happy, then it's definitely worth it. I could see myself getting a little cabin fever, if I was maybe to stay a whole week at Vero.
Yeah.
I think by the fourth night, I was starting to think like, okay, like how many times can you, for me, I'm like, how many more times can I go to the beach before I get a little bored and want to do something different?
Okay.
And start wondering like what else is out there? Like, there doesn't seem to be much nearby.
So it sounds like to some extent, Vero is a great relaxing long weekend, but not the week vacation that you might enjoy at Disney World.
In my opinion, I think it's a great long weekend destination. I think the way we did it. I think adding Vero on to the end of our Disney World trip was genius.
If you do so yourself.
Yes, it was after the the bustle and trying to cram everything in that you can at Walt Disney World and the hecticness and the feeling that you're never going to see and do everything that there is to do there, to be able to just change shift gears and relax and not feel pressured. You pull up a lounge chair on the beach or near the pool and you sit back and you're like, we don't have to be anywhere for hours. It's such a change, and it's a great way to end a vacation. Not that we ended our vacation that way, because we still missed our Ohana breakfast.
All right, so let's talk about that pickup you managed.
Because I'll be damned if we're going to miss our Ohana breakfast. So we were thinking about it, and we're like, and I think from the moment we got the Vero, I was pestering my wife with little things like, we do have to drive north to get back home. And that kind of takes us back towards, in the vicinity. It wouldn't be that big of a detour. And, you know, and at first she was like, no, there's no time for that. It just so happened that when we scheduled our vacation, not that long after booking everything and paying, you know, and having everything set up, my sister-in-law got engaged. And for whatever reason, they decided they, you know, like it was around Christmas time, they got engaged and they said, it's going to be this summer, we're getting married. You know, we're not going to wait. We're not going to, like, you know, do this long plan anything. We're just doing it right away.
Okay.
And we were like, okay. And so when? And they booked it for, like, August 3rd. And I was like, we get home on August, like, 1st. I was like, so we drive all the way back. And I was like, now we got a new, and it's up in Boston. And we live in New York. So we got to go, you know. So we were just like, okay. So there's no flexibility there. It's like, you know, we have to be home
right
on the first in time to unpack, you know, turn everything around and go up to, you know, be at the wedding, especially since it's my sister-in-law, which means my wife is in the wedding. She's the matron of honor. So it's like she has to be there early. And so, so that put a little pressure on us to make sure that we were home. And so there wasn't as much flexibility built in, but we did manage to, you know, I called up, I think my wife gave in on maybe the night before we left, the night before the day, yeah, that we were supposed to leave. I think she said, you know, I think, yeah, let's do it. And I got online. I saw that there was availability for a late breakfast seating at Ohana, which meant we had plenty of time. We didn't have to rush to get out in the morning. And so I booked it, and we drove up. And, of course, once we get there, I'm eating breakfast. I'm like, well, we're right here in the Magic Kingdom. It's right over there. We have these We have these annual passes that we've been meaning to get. We have these, you know, because our trip got interrupted, you know, at the end, we had planned on, you know, bridging our discounted tickets from Undercover Tourist up to APs since we knew we were going back for the marathon and we knew we were going back probably early next summer.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, like we didn't get to do that. So this gives us an excuse to go over there and go to, like, you know, go to guest services. And so, yeah, so we talked ourselves into going back over to the Magic Kingdom for a little while too. So we did our breakfast. So that was great. I think I mentioned on one of the on the tournament, you know, I said something about Narcoossee's, like I wouldn't go out of my way to go back to a missed meal at Narcoossee's, but, you know, for Ohana, you know, I'm detouring. And so we got back, we did our breakfast, which was great. It's always great at Ohana. It's one of our favorite ones to do. And then we went to go hop on the monorail, and it was busting. It was broken down. So we went over to the boat launch to get over to the Magic Kingdom. And another funny thing that happened was my daughter, you know, was complaining that the sun was in her eyes. So I gave her my hat.
Okay.
This is my, you know, my go-to hat, my favorite, you know, New York Mets baseball hat that I wear, like, everywhere, and, you know, and I had no problem with giving it to her, you know, to help her, you know, keep the sun out of her eyes while we're waiting for the boat to come up. But then next thing I know, I hear her say, oh no, and I look down, it's in the water. And I'm like, how did that happen? She, like, backed up against the rope, and I guess the rope, you know, at her height that she was, like, the rope hit the back of the hat, and it just tipped it up, and it fell off of her head, and it just went over. And so we all stood there and watched over the ropes as my hat, my favorite hat, sunk to the bottom of the Seven Seas Lagoon.
Buddy. Bye-bye, hat.
Like, all right. I guess I'm getting a new hat. Well,
so what kind of hat was it? So when we see the alligator wearing it, we, you know, we can direct it towards you because now you can be its Captain Hook and it can be your TikTok.
My TikTok rock, wearing my orange Mets baseball hat, you know, see a crocodile, an orange Mets baseball hat, that would be mine. Yeah, I ended up replacing it with a pair of Mickey Mouse ears, which is not a bad trade.
It's a reasonable trade up.
I probably wouldn't wear that, you know, at the office or, you know, around town, but I'll replace the hat. You know, but we spent, we finished off the trip and, you know, In good style. I think it was a perfect ending, you know, even with the relaxing bureau trip, getting back, stopping off of having our breakfast that we missed, and then we jumped over to the Magic Kingdom. We pretty much did Adventureland because we didn't set foot in Adventureland the entire, you know, first day at the Magic Kingdom. We just never got over there. So we, you know, my daughter really wanted to see Tink, so we went and saw Tink. We went to the Tiki Room. Unfortunately, Pirates was down, I heard it was down. It was down an entire day. I think it was like for a 2-day period.
Oh yeah.
It just wasn't operating, and that was one of the days. So we didn't get to go on Pirates. And then we took a lap. My son fell asleep in the stroller. We took a lap around the entire park just to kind of say goodbye, you know, until next time. And on our way out, as we were coming down Main Street, the parade was starting. So we, you know, grabbed a couple of Mickey bars. My wife got some popcorn. We watched the parade, and then we headed home. And thankfully, nothing happened to the car because I had a hard time finding parking at the Poly. So I parked in a spot that was reserved for some sort of award, cast member award winner.
Okay.
And thankfully, that didn't cause anybody any problems because the car was still there.
That's good.
And yeah, so we got in the car, drove as far as we could, and ended up getting home in time, you know, on schedule the next day, in time to go and get there for the wedding. And yeah, so it was some ups and downs on this trip, but it ended on a high note. And look back, and when you look back, it's easy to overlook the down parts and just, you know, concentrate on how many highlights there were. And I think this was one of our better trips.
Well, you know, you still did across the trip have some great highs too. You talked about, you know, the great experience at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and what I love about the stuff there that is such a great experience is it's all free. You know, there's no charge for any of the sort of in Animal Kingdom Lodge entertainment stuff that goes on. So you had that. You were even having a really good dinner until that piece of steak didn't cooperate. And then you had the relaxation from Vero, and you got to wrap up with the Ohana breakfast you missed. Sounds to me like a 5-star trip.
Yeah.
Detour to a hospital.
Yeah. Well, little detours, but overall a great trip.
Well, you know, thanks for coming back on the show and sharing the trip with us, James. Even with the detour, we've really enjoyed talking about them. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to hook up. We're going to be down probably recording live this year as opposed to broadcasting live, but probably recording live over Marathon Weekend. So hopefully you'll be able to maybe find some time to join us for that live recording.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
All right. We'll hope to see you then.
All right. Thanks for having me.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas. Anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow. Horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.